WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
We'll get back to our interview with Ringo Starr a little later. This week, we're featuring a special series on American cities that gave us rock and roll. Today, our rock historian, Ed Ward, looks at New York. Although New York is a media capital, its rock and roll heritage was slow getting started.
If we're taking the history of the cities that gave America rock and roll in chronological order, it seems very odd to leave New York until last. But in fact, New York for many years wasn't a place where things started. True, it was America's post-war center of entertainment, but it also had a great stumbling block imposed by the New York Police Department. The media, of course, helped expose rock and roll. Alan Freed, the great disc jockey who put rock and roll on the map for white American teenagers, joined the staff of WINS in New York in 1954, and that helped shape tastes. And uptown in Harlem, the vocal group sound had one of its great capitals.
Kind of love. I love to laugh and suddenly lie. I'm glad to know it's more.
Winnie Winfield in the Harptones epitomized that sound, ably assisted by a man named Raul J. Sita, an arranger and producer whose ideas shaped the whole era thanks to his close association with several of the city's record labels. George Goldner, too, understood this music and made scores of classic records that Freed played on his show. The Chantel's Maybe, with Sita's rolling piano moving it along, was typical, except, of course, that the singers were teenage girls, not teenage boys. Another important figure in Harlem was Bobby Robinson, a record store owner who paid attention to the rural blacks, who made up a significant portion of the area's residents. Robinson had a golden touch, recording bluesmen like Elmore James and Buster Brown, and vocal groups like the very young Gladys Knight and the Pips.
In every beat of my heart, there's a beat for you. In every toast of wine, there's a toast.
But what helps music evolve is live performance, and this was extremely difficult in New York. To perform, one had to have a cabaret card issued by the police, and the slightest infraction could get it suspended or canceled. The great jazz pianist, Thelonious Monk, for instance, was arrested in a car in which narcotics were found. They weren't his, but he was never allowed to perform in New York again. The cards were also expensive, which deterred many one-shot performers from getting them. Thus, by the 60s, New York was moribund. The post-Beatles rock era virtually passed it by, with the polar exceptions of the Velvet Underground and the Love and Spoonful. But since only a few Greenwich Village coffee houses featured that kind of music, New York's major contribution to that era was the circle of folk singers that gave us Bob Dylan. The cabaret card law was finally reformed, but not before the music scene had all but fled the city. It wasn't until the mid-70s that something happened.
Hey! Oh! Let's go!
downtown scene actually started at the Mercer Arts Center, where the New York Dolls and Kiss got their start. But before long, it had migrated to a bar on the Bowery called CBGB, where bands like the Ramones, Talking Heads, and Television redefined simplicity. Punk rock, named by New York critic Billy Altman, swept overseas, where the New York Dolls' last manager, Malcolm McLaren, took the sound and gave us back the Sex Pistols. Almost simultaneously, things were changing uptown, too. Jamaican immigrants had revolutionized the discos with an old trick from back home, talking over instrumental tracks. Yves Saint Laurent, Pierre Cardin, the Chandlers, Kobe's, and the Carringtons. Styles not Gucci or Louis Vuitton, imported straight from the Bronx, and my name's the Bond. Creole with a few words I like to voice, and Austin or LaRose is my particular choice. Got style and finesse, and I'm sure you'll agree, nobody ever, never, ever rhymed quite like me. Rap was derided as a novelty, not really music, but like punk, it's proven too durable to go away. Like a horse that falls back after a promising start, then surges its way to the front at the finish, New York has come back, big time.
Ed Ward is Fresh Air's rock historian. He's currently living in Berlin. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.